Guys, I have Nick Park with me on the show today, and we're going to chat about a fairly taboo subject. I love that word, taboo. Nick, you and I have chatted off air a couple of times about the taboo subjects in the church that I love to talk about, that we're going to bring life and love and hope into. So thanks for joining me today.
It's fine. And you know what? When I read the New Testament and I read the stuff that Paul brought up, the subjects he tackled with them, there wasn't very much that was taboo for the Apostle Paul. I mean, sometimes you're reading the epistles and you're thinking, are you really going to go there, Paul? And he does.
Yeah, he didn't hold any punches, did he? For everything from sexual immorality right across to leadership in the church, he tackled it all, and we want to do the same. That's why you and I are having these conversations. So, Nick, this morning, I suppose it's this afternoon now at this stage for our listeners. We want to talk about immigration. Obviously, we've seen over the last kind of 2 weeks or so what I'm going to use the word, and you don't need to. Use the word, but I'm going to use the word. We've seen a lot of nonsense happening on the particularly in Northern Ireland over the last couple of weeks. We've seen immigration policies being challenged. We've seen immigrants to our country being attacked. We've seen communities being held hostage and put under siege because of what I'm going to call out as racism. In the country of Northern Ireland, and it's not unique to Northern Ireland. We've seen similar things happening in the Republic of Ireland over the last couple of years as well. And I suppose, we are in a season, and we are in a world where there are a lot of people on the island of Ireland, north and south, who are feeling challenged by the immigration policies that are currently in place north and south of the border. And so we want to talk into that. So, Nick, I'm going to just let you go, if that makes sense. I feel like, I've got the arrow in my hand, and I've just been pulling it back a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. But now I'm just going to let you go and give us your perspective, and I suppose the Evangelical Alliance perspective on immigration.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I grew up in Belfast, so you know what? In Northern Ireland, we do like a good riot now and again, don't we? I remember years ago, The Clash, the punk band, were supposed to be playing at the Ulster Hall, and the gig got cancelled at the last minute because they didn't have the right insurance in place, and so we had a riot. We had a riot with there were petrol bombs, punks. We had a punk riot with punks throwing petrol bombs at the police. So I don't know if it's a. I think people tend to riot all over the world, but in Belfast we do have a track record, don't we, of rioting over something or other.
It's absolute salacious. And I suppose let's talk about that then for a minute, if that's okay. I'm coming from it as someone who's spent a lot of time in Northern Ireland. The first 18 years of my life were spent in Northern Ireland before I ended up on the streets of Dublin. But I grew up in during the hunger strikes. I grew up during all of the riotous behaviour. And I suppose if I've learned anything, is that the only people that tend to be hurt, or that seem to be hurt in riotous behavior, are the people in the community that the people are who are rioting are claiming to be representing and protecting. I feel like I'm going on a mini rant, so please forgive me, but I look at the irrational behavior in Larne last week, or the week before. I can't, the specifics of it are gone from my head right now. There's been so much happening in the news. All of the news stories just seem to fall into one negative kind of stream, don't they? But I've been looking, and I'm aware of, they attacked a leisure centre in Larne. Now, I don't know, and I've talked about this on the show over the while, Nick, that, where's the sense in that? For me, it's kind of, what on earth are you thinking? You're destroying a leisure facility that brings joy to families, that helps people with their mental and physical health, because I'm almost speechless. Now, that's a surprise. Tim Shields is almost speechless, but I'm rendered speechless at this type of behaviour.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And for the vulnerable, and for example, children, for example, it is tremendously frightening. A couple of years ago, I went with my wife to remember the Kenneth Branagh movie that came out, Belfast. We went to see that in a cinema in Dublin, and I'm sat there, and there's one point where there's a riot going on in the street outside, a sectarian riot, and this is set in the 1960s, and the main character in it is actually maybe a year older than I was at that time, and I can remember that time, and I can remember how frightening it was. And I'm sat there in the cinema, and there's tears streaming down my face. It was so triggering because it just brought back all of that fear from when I was a child, caused by behavior and incidents like that. So it's foolishness, as you say, it's nonsense, but also tremendously destructive, and long-term damage done to some of our most vulnerable members of the community.
Absolutely. I was looking at something on one of the social networking sites that I choose to spend too much time on, because probably the best way to say it, I get a lot of information from there. And there was an English journalist who was chatting about when rioting happens, it is burst out of frustration a lot of the time. Now, I know, as we've already said, in Northern Ireland, we have a tendency to, at the drop of a hat, because it's a culture thing, and it's what, it's what we've always done. It's how we kind of communicate frustration. And there's a, in Ballymena at the moment, and I'm not condoning any sense of violence at all, but I suppose it's good to acknowledge frustration for people, because that's, I think, where the church can come in, and where the church can bring life and love and hope, and actually help people with that frustration. So there's a lot of people in Ballymena at the moment who feel like there are a lot of immigrants coming into the area, and because the government are paying a premium for housing and for rent and different things like that, a lot of people feel, who've grown up in the area and their families, that they're being priced out of the local market, that they can't afford to be paying the rent at the premiums that the landlords are charging and getting, because they can get that in terms of social housing and different things like that. And so there is a real sense of frustration. I'm not saying it's warranted or justified. We just need to acknowledge that it does exist. And so I suppose for us as the church, if we're going to help people on this journey of frustration and help people to kind of, maybe find a different perspective on how we engage with immigration, like, where do we begin is probably the question I want to ask you.
I mean, you're right about the frustration. And of course, when people are frustrated and they have trouble articulating that and expressing why they're feeling frustrated, it's very easy to look for scapegoats. And that, you go back to Germany in the 1930s, it was the Jews, So, there are always people who will look for scapegoats and say the reason why you're frustrated in life is because of this group of people. Now, as far as immigration is concerned, I mean, overall, immigration is a positive thing, I think, for any country. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't problems. Of course, there's problems. You bring together people from different backgrounds, different cultures, there's always going to be problems. And there's nothing wrong with having a discussion and a debate about immigration and how immigration should be controlled or whatever. It doesn't make somebody a racist because they think the government has the wrong policy on immigration. But when we start scapegoating people, when we start treating people as being less than human, then we've lost the plot altogether. And sadly, there are sinister forces in Ireland, both in Northern Ireland and the Republic, who are all too happy to exploit the frustration that you talk about. And it's funny how frustration over housing, it's never directed at the property developers who have priced most people out of the housing market. It's directed at the immigrants who need housing as well as native born people. So there are sinister forces who are all too ready to exploit that and take people's frustration and use it for what are quite sinister motives and reasons. So that's what really concerns me about what's happening in Ireland at the moment, both north and south, and particularly the number of people who claim to be Christians, who I've been shocked at some Christians that I've seen, some of the stuff they're coming out with, that, you know what, whether you agree with the government's immigration policy or not, we're still to love our neighbors. And even if we think some people shouldn't have been allowed into the country, the fact is they are here, and our job is to love them and share the gospel with them for the time that they are here. And if we lose sight of that, we might call ourselves Christian, but we're not disciples of Christ.
I think sometimes when things look different and when things are different, it can create a natural sense of fear because it's the fear of the unknown, isn't it? I recently had to walk through a situation with, I live in an area in Omagh, and like every good area on the island of Ireland, we have our own community Facebook group. And you know, it's a lot of people like to contribute information into these Facebook groups. And we recently have had a number of Afghan refugees come into the area, and they look very different. Some of them are in headdress, some of them are not. And we had a family come into the area about 2 months ago, and the family got a great house, social housing, beautiful house, great house, in just in the neighborhood next to ours. And they've come from Afghanistan, and they've come into Omagh, and Omagh is a beautiful town. I'm on the edge of Omagh, we're green belt, so it's stunning scenery. And for the first couple of weeks, whilst the family were adapting to life in Omagh from Afghanistan, they were walking around the area, and they had their phones out all of the time, and they were filming, and they were, FaceTiming, and they were doing all of these things, and they were, going past people's houses and filming what looked like into the sitting rooms, and all of those things. And before I knew it, they had been demonized. And they had become thieves, and they were stalking houses, and they you name it, every negative comment that you can think of became this incredible feed. And I had the privilege of meeting their key worker, had the privilege of meeting with the ladies themselves, and an interpreter. And what we have to remember, and I think it's really important, is that when people are fleeing one culture and one country for another, when they come into this is like for these guys coming to Omagh, and where I live in Omagh, it's an area called Kundagard. It's all private housing. Everyone owns their own home. Some of the houses are rented out, and for them it was like Hollywood. This was the reality. They've never seen TVs as big as ours. Cars, 4 or 5 cars on a driveway. And one house. It's like they've had the jackpot. And yet, because of the, I'll use the word ignorance is probably the best word to use, because of the ignorance associated around their coming to the area and their activity in the area, they're automatically being demonized.
I mean, we do have to remember, of course, that whenever the Irish, for example, traveled to many different parts of the world when they first arrived in the North America and stuff, I'm sure if they'd had phones, they would have been sending selfies back with all the skyscrapers and the amazing things that they were seeing. And instead, they wrote songs about it, you know. And when you think about it, even the writing of songs like "Where the Mountains of Mourne Sweep Down to the Sea" was probably their equivalent of us taking selfies and arriving in a new country today. But of course, there are people within communities. It would be foolish to imagine that everyone that comes from another country as an asylum seeker or a refugee or whatever is an angel. You know, in the same way as not everybody, you know, in any community, you've got people that behave badly, that have psychological problems, that have criminal records, whatever else. And in fact, when the Irish went around the world, there was no end of social problems that they brought with them to North America and Britain and other places like that. That's why the basic in the 19th century, one of the stock characters in stage plays and comedies was the drunken Irishman on the street, because we weren't angels when we went to other places. And so these problems, they're going to occur. You know, it would be foolish to imagine, and this situation in Ballymena was sparked by an incident with two young people from the Roma community. Now, I've seen where the Roma community have come from. I work extensively with the Roma community. I preach in Roma churches, and the fact is that the situation and the living conditions that they're coming from across Europe are absolutely horrendous and very difficult situations. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing with the Roma community here in Ireland, first of all, probably the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that's taking place in Ireland today is in the Roma community. In terms of them coming to Jesus Christ, it truly is revival. I mean, we're talking about something like 10% of the entire Roma community in Ireland being born again and filled with the Spirit in recent years, which is an amazing movement of God. And we're seeing young people. I'm seeing young people in that community who, for generations, nobody's had a job in their family. And now some of them are going to college. They're setting up, you know, my local barber shop is run by members of the Roma community, young people from one of our churches, and I go in there, get my hair cut regularly. And so others are opening up bistros and all kinds of stuff. Some are graduating from college with law degrees. So we're seeing a community being transformed, but that still takes time. And you know what? There are people, just as there are Irish people who commit horrible crimes, we are going to get people who are immigrants that will commit horrible crimes. But then to therefore say, because of that, we're going to attack homes of everybody that belongs to that ethnic group. Well, that's just racism, pure and simple. We can't dress that up as anything else.
So, Nick, how do we then, as the church, how do we bring a biblical perspective to racism? That's the big thing, isn't it?
It is, and we need to call it out when we see it happening with people that we know. And that's not easy. I've lost friends through doing that by challenging what they're saying. And yet sometimes these are lovely people. I mean, I'm thinking now of somebody I know that I've had got a, I next time I see him, I've got to have a serious conversation with him, because he is an evangelist. And I know he's very passionate about sharing the Lord, and he's a lovely guy. But he put up a post on social media of it was a lot of people in Muslim garb waiting at a bus stop in Dublin, ready to go to, there was an Eid celebration in the in Croke Park. And it was like, no, this is not Afghanistan. This look, can you believe it? This is Dublin. And the inference was quite plainly, this should not be happening. This is terrible, you know. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, you're an evangelist. Surely, if you previously, if you wanted to reach people, say, from Afghanistan, you had to get visas, you had to raise thousands of euros, you had to risk your life to go to Afghanistan. And now suddenly you have all these people on your doorstep and you have the freedom to share the gospel with them. This should be have an evangelist jumping for joy. And so, again, just sounding off about that isn't enough. I've got to meet that person. I've got to have a serious conversation with them, and I may lose a friend over it. But unless we have those difficult conversations, we're not going to deal with this issue of racism and xenophobia among professing Christians.
I think that's really a beautiful point to make. I recently was in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre in Dublin, and I was walking around, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to shift perspective sometimes. And as I was walking around the shopping centre, and I don't know if the statement I'm about to make is politically correct, and if it is not, I apologise in advance. I don't know what other words to say, and if someone wants to correct me, I'm open to being corrected. But I saw more foreign nationals in the shopping centre
Yeah.
than I did what we would call Irish nationals. And as I was walking around, I had this real sense of excitement that the harvest is plentiful,
Yeah.
but the workers are few. And I began to pray for churches in the area, and I began to pray for people in the area as I was walking around. And I just thought, when did Dublin become so multicultural? And I spent a fair bit of time in Dublin. You know, obviously our UCB studios are in Dublin, and I'm down regularly for my show. And I'm also heavily involved with Christian Churches Ireland, and we do a lot of things in and around the capital as well. And so I'm not alien to being in Dublin. But I had never seen it on such a I'll use mass scale before. And I did, I genuinely, I got excited. I
Yeah.
got excited for the church in Dublin. I got excited for the church in Ireland. And I thought, look at what the Lord is doing. He's bringing all of those people into, Christian environments
Yeah.
so that they can be exposed to the life-giving message of the cross of Jesus Christ.
And that is happening, and they're responding. So, for example, across Dublin, we have Filipino churches, we have Indian churches, we have Brazilian churches, we have Romanian churches and Roma Gypsy churches. And it's just incredible. And in fact, I would say I'm pretty confident that the percentage of people from these immigrant populations that are coming to Christ far exceeds the numbers of white Irish people like myself that are coming to Christ. And it really is an exciting thing. And I think one way that maybe we need to help this is by encouraging our indigenous Irish Christians, for lack of a better term, to actually visit other churches, to visit ethnic churches. For example, the church I pastored for 30 years in Drogheda, Solid Rock, Drogheda. We've had for a number of years a Roma Gypsy church that uses our premises on a Sunday evening. They have their service there. And it's great to be able to do that, but it can also have misunderstandings because, people come in and a microphone stand has been moved or litter hasn't been picked up or something like that. And I had to explain to the congregation, look, this is just like when I get into my car and my wife has been driving it and the seat's in the wrong position and the mirrors need readjusted and everything else. This is going to happen, So what I did to try to help them understand better was I was in a service with the Roma Gypsy congregation and I just did some videoing. And they were having communion, and just while they were having communion, they were just being overcome by how grateful they were at Jesus going to the cross. They were weeping, they were crying, and I showed it the following Sunday. I projected it all on the screen, and our church could see our church building absolutely packed with people from another culture, another language, absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ, and to be honest, I think that showing that video achieved more than rafts of sermons. So we need to somehow create these kinds of experiences. At least when we deal with this problem within the church, we have a better chance of dealing with it in society.
One of the things that runs through the heart of Oma Community Church, which is the church that I have the privilege of leading along with my wife Jenny in this season of life that we find ourselves in, is the passage of Scripture Isaiah 58. And many of our listeners will be familiar with it. No doubt, Nick, you're more familiar with it than I am. But there's a stream of life running through this passage where God is challenging his followers essentially to look at how they're engaging with those around them, to look at how they are being loved and how they're being served. And he actually says, this is what I call worship. Worshipping is serving other people. Worshipping is welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, making ourselves available to our families. And that's what he called worship. Worship we have put into a box, haven't we, in the church of, we turn up on a Sunday morning and, we give our tithe and we raise our hands and we do our things and we sit in the same seat that we sit in every week, and that's what we call worship. And then when we walk out of the building, for a lot of people that we've seen online, and we've alluded to it, in our conversation, and we both know people who, they're great on a Sunday, but dare us look at their Facebook on a Monday. And is that worship? And I feel like that's the invitation for us as the church in the 21st century, is to demonstrate our love for God through our love for other people, particularly those that are the strangers that need the welcome, and those who are the hungry that need, those who are the starving, those who are the naked, that need all the help and encouragement and support that they can get, and where better to get it than the church.
I mean, and that runs right the way through Isaiah in particular. I've been doing a verse by verse study of Isaiah, and just in the early chapters, the first three or four chapters. And even there in the very beginning of the book, Isaiah speaks about these people who are coming and performing all the right rituals in the ceremony in the temple. And he says, your celebrations, they weary me. I love that because I think I've been in. I shouldn't say this as a pastor, but I've been in some services where I get fed up. And I think, well, maybe God gets fed up at some of our services if we are neglecting justice, if we're not caring for the stranger and the foreigner. And this is part of true Christian faith. And like the song says, coming back to the heart of worship, and we need to realize it's more than a song.
So, as we close, Nick, let's put a challenge out to the church together, will we?
Yes,
Pull your
yes.
socks up, pull your sleeves up,
But pull
open
your
your
socks up,
hearts.
pull your sleeves up, and you know what? Why don't you just try going along to a local ethnic church and visit a, they'd actually love you to come and visit them. They would be over the moon. If you were to go into a gypsy church, an Indian church, Brazilian church, African church, whatever, they would love you to come and visit them.
Brilliant. Nick, as always, great to see you. Great to chat to you. Great to hear your voice. And can't wait to see you again. Hey, God bless.
See you soon, and God bless.
Thank you.